The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what is appropriate for you, consult a qualified professional. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects from loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.
This is Wealth Wake Up on KGMI with Dick Donahue.
The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.
Good Saturday morning, Dick Donahue, Camille Kuchenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. Started a couple seconds ago, a little early, I guess, so we'll start over again. Anyway, beautiful Indian summer day out there. Thank you for being with us. Okay, we're going to start out with this week's summary of the markets. All the major indices posted sharp losses for this week in response to investor concerns about rising interest rates, international trade, lower oil prices, and pre-earnings announcements. Despite Friday's technology-led rally, the two-day decline midweek was the worst since February. For the week, the Russell 2000 index fell 5.424%, followed by the Dow Jones average at 4.19%, the S&P index at minus 4.11%, and the NASDAQ down 3.74%. Technology has driven the market's gains over the past few years, fell as investors feared that higher interest rates would dampen the sector's future growth. This week's declines, unlike the indiscriminate selling in February, were largely sector and stock specific. Notably, several market darlings entered bear market territory, 20% or greater decline from the 52-week high, or correction 10% plus decline. With losses for Facebook down 30%, Netflix down 23%, Amazon down 16%. In comparison, the more modestly priced Apple is down 9.3%, Microsoft down 9%, Alphabet, which is Google, down 8.5%, avoided double-digit declines. These stocks, with their previously reliable price appreciation trends, were the easy trade for many investors, and passive index investors rode the wave. Over the summer, though, indications of a rotation from technology into value stocks emerged, as some investors sensed that the growth momentum was unsustainable. A further concern so far this year, 83% of the technology IPOs are companies which have never been profitable. On the international stage, the U.S. and China are showing some interest in November meeting to discuss the basis on which trade negotiations might begin. Tariffs are an emerging topic in earnings reports and commentaries. Fastenal and PPG industry stock prices declined following commentary on the negative impact of tariffs on revenues and earnings. The Chinese government has taken steps to stimulate economic growth with monetary easing and policy changes. For example, BMW received approval to take majority control of its joint venture with Brilliance Automotive. In Europe, Brexit negotiations are fast approaching a critical decline. And on Thursday, despite earnings from the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, the Italian legislature approved a budget which targets a 2.4% deficit in 2019. Yields on Italian bonds have soared, although European banks outside of Italy, which have only modest holdings in Italian debt, did not face the same exposure they had with the Greek debt crisis. Oil prices declined this week as U.S. oil inventories rose while both OPEC and Russia reported production increases. Inventories are often volatile at this time of year as refineries rotate from summer to winter fuels and reduce operations to routine maintenance. Looking ahead, the bias towards higher oil prices reflects several issues, including the loss as of November 1st embargo of Iranian oil production, a steeper than projected production declines in U.S. fracking activity, and the overall lack of new production to offset natural depletion. The recent spike in interest has unsettled the markets, even though the economy remains healthy and inflation remains moderate. Perhaps investors, companies, and consumers are transitioning to the new paradigm of a normal interest rate environment. On Friday, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo reported double-digit earnings increases. Citigroup CFO John Graspach echoed out of the bank executives in commenting that the U.S. economy is performing very, very well. Now the market is going to have to react to somewhat of a return to more normal short-term rate structure. That is, higher interest rates are a natural result of accelerating economic growth. Short-term, the markets may remain volatile, but the market should recover from the recent downturn, and investors will begin to identify companies that are well-positioned to prosper. So a little comment on where we are on this. We have not been ones to necessarily focus on the high-risk stocks, the tech stocks, or the so-called FANG stocks in the last year or two, and sometimes we probably haven't made the money that we could have made, but we've been somewhat concerned about valuations for a while. So our focus as a firm has been on companies that are dividend-paying, which are your value stocks, which is what we just talked about. The market is rotating more to value, and also using some of what we call our irreplaceable capital strategies with a focus on not necessarily hitting that home run in the up market, but managing downside risk. So, you know, one of our strategies that we use is a strategy that we call it's irreplaceable capital, that defined risk that always manages downside risk and hedges the downside. You know, they've been in business for 21 years. Their worst year ever was down 5.4%. They lost 4.5% in 2008 when the market was down 37. So we've found great success in working with those types of strategies. Sometimes it does require investor patience and client patience because they're in this situation where everybody wants to hit that home run all the time. And, they always think they want to make more money, but they're also not willing to take the risk that comes with it. The other thing to keep in mind with this week's volatility is we had this move that we had. You see some of the tech stocks down 30%. We have not had a major correction in the market now for over 9 years. We basically have gone 9 years without a correction even of over 10%. And so having a little bit of volatility and having a little bit of a hiccup in where the market's headed is not something that shouldn't be expected. We have felt for a while that it was something that we needed to be very much aware of. And we're kind of hanging tight with what we're doing at this point in time. We believe that we've taken the right positions. And our average client, of course, is 69 years old. So most of our clients are in a position where financially they cannot afford to take a big hit. Most of them are taking withdrawals off their money and living off that money. If you get a 20 or 30% drop in the value of their accounts, and while it may be a temporary drop, if you're drawing money off your money in addition to having that kind of drop, past history shows that you will not have a chance to recover. So it's something we're more than happy to sit down on a one-on-one and talk to people about. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Dick Donahue, Camille Koppenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. Thank you for being with us today.
There's an amazing place right here in Whatcom County, less than a 30-minute drive north of Bellingham, a place where you'll forget traffic, city noises, and the pressures of your work week. If you've dreamt of a special escape for a day, a weekend, or a lifetime, Semiahmoo Shore is that dream come true. Semiahmoo Shore offers brand new award-winning homes from 2,000 to 3,000 square feet with prices starting at only $795,000. Go to ultimatewaterfront.com for a tour of our gated community, spectacular homes, and miles of unspoiled beaches located next to the fabulous Semiahmoo Resort Hotel and Spa. Model homes are open daily noon to 5 p.m., considered by many as the most beautiful spot on Washington's coast, where the sun rises over Mount Baker in the harbor on one side of your new home and sets in the inland Pacific on the other. Our remarkable pricing, location, and details are all available at ultimatewaterfront.com. Semiahmoo Shore is listed and marketed by Mike Kent of Windermere Real Estate.
I'm Senator Doug Erickson, and I approve this message.
For Doug Erickson, strong families and great jobs go together. Standing up for workers, he's saved and created thousands of new jobs in Whatcom County. He gets it. Doug fights for our local farmers and was named the Farm Bureau Legislator of the Year. A father and a husband, Doug makes public safety a top priority. He's endorsed by the Council of Police and Sheriffs, the women and men who keep our streets safe. Senator Doug Erickson, the leader Whatcom County needs.
Paid for by the committee to elect Doug Erickson, GOP.
They're a portal for attracting business from out of the area and an essential part of a vibrant community.
For over 100 years, the Bellingham-Whatcom Chamber of Commerce has been the front door to the community. Whether you're a local business, a community member, or someone interested in opening a business in Whatcom County, the Chamber of Commerce is your first stop. Go to bellingham.com for more information or give our friendly staff a call at 734-1330. The Bellingham-Whatcom Chamber of Commerce, it's all about relationships that matter.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you this Saturday morning here at KGMI. We're Asset Advisors located out in Ferndale. So you got questions about the market, don't be afraid to give us a call. Our phone number is 360-733-1200. Our address, we're out next to Wilson's Furniture on the Pacific Highway, 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101. That's Ferndale, 98248. Again, that phone number, 360-733-1200. Check out our website, assetadvisorsllc.net. And I want to put a plug in again for the political forums. I know we got the voters pamphlet in the mail yesterday, so that type of stuff's top of mind. We're actually, Common Threads Northwest and a series of other community organizations are sponsoring two political forums this week, one on Tuesday down at Cedar Willy High School, and that will be from 7 to 9:30 p.m. That's on Tuesday the 16th. We'll feature legislators from the 10th, the 39th, and the 40th district. PUD candidates, the state initiatives will be discussed, as well as the Skagit Charter initiative, and also appeals court positions. And then Whatcom County Forum will be Thursday night at Meridian High School, also from 7 to 9:30. So Tuesday night, 7 to 9:30 in Cedar Willy, Thursday night from 7 to 9:30 at Whatcom, at Meridian High School. And there we'll have the 40 and 42nd legislators, the PUD, County Council, the appeals court, and again, we'll talk about the state initiative. So I invite you to come out and become educated. Voting is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Had a couple of announcements come out this week regarding Social Security and Medicare. First of all, Social Security came out with their COLA for 2019. It's the largest annual cost of living increase in benefits since 2012. And there's about 63 million beneficiaries, including retirees and disabled workers, eligible dependents that depend on Social Security. The 2.8% increase is going to boost the benefit by $39 a month on the average to somebody that's got $1,461 per month for the average person. The person receiving maximum Social Security will receive about $73 a month. That'll go up to $2,861. That's for 2019. This follows a 2% increase in 2018. And previously, benefits increased a meager 0.03% for 17, and there were no increase in benefits in 16. So pretty significant 2.8% increase. Of course, that's also going to increase the lid on how much you're paying if you're still working in taxes. You're going to pay Social Security taxes on now about $135,000, so that goes up fairly substantially, and $132,900 to be exact. I'm kind of jumping through this. But both the employer pays 7.65% and the employee pay 7.65%. So a total of 15.3% of money is of what you earn is going into the Social Security pool. In addition to that, those that earn over that $132,009, they continue to pay for the Medicare premium 1.45%. And that's enough on that one. So also we got a notice on the Medicare part premium Part B also. Camille?
All right. So Dick talked about that increase of 2.8% next year. That's good news for everyone. Also good news for Medicare Part B. It's only increasing by $1.50, so $135.50 per month in 2019. So your Medicare Part B premiums are usually deducted from your Social Security benefits. So you've got a small increase in Medicare Part B premiums, only $1.50 more, plus you get that 2.8% in that increase in COLA. And like Dick said, you're going to see a larger amount for your Social Security benefit again.
About a whole $37 a month.
That's nice. That's a nice dinner. Or whatever you want to spend that money in. Or, you know, those top tiers are getting $73 more. So they also announced that the annual deductible for Medicare Part B beneficiaries is $185 in 2019. That is an increase of $2 from $183 in 2018. And we're going to get into this today, but the vast majority of Medicare beneficiaries don't pay for the premium for Part A, and that covers inpatient hospital costs since they have at least 40 quarters of Medicare-covered employment. So that's the news there. $1.50 more for Medicare Part B. And again, like Dick said, we got a nice little COLA this year. So what are we talking about
today? First significant COLA in 7 years. So
yeah,
it all helps if that's what people are dependent on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since we're talking about health care and Medicare and Social Security and all those good things, today is a good day for us to talk about the those that are having to look at what we call the annual election period for Medicare. Bill's giving me his thumbs up over here.
We're using the right terminology.
We have with us today Bill Tetrol. Bill has actually been in our office one way or the other for about 13 years. He's upstairs in our building out on the freeway next to Wilson's Furniture. So, Bill, you wanted to start out, I think, by giving us a little bit of history on health care and Medicare.
Well, yeah, I think that one of the first things I want to do is kind of educate the folks as to where health care first came about in this country. The discussion actually really started back in 1912 with Teddy Roosevelt. If you remember, Teddy Roosevelt was our president from 1901 to 1909. And then in 1912, he decided he wanted to run for president again, so he was trying to gain the nomination of the Republican Party against William Howard Taft, and he lost. Well, he was the Ross Perot of his era, I guess, because he started a third party, and he ended up with the Bull Moose Party. As a result, the Bull Moose Party, one of the things on his agenda was to bring to people some kind of a national health care. Well, he lost the election, and Taft lost his election because he started his Bull Moose Party, and Wilson got into office. So then you go from Wilson, and you go on down the line. You've got Calvin Coolidge, and you've got Herbert Heber Hoover, and then it leads into Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Well, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had an idea in his head about national health care, but the problem was that he was dealing with the Depression when he first came into office. So that was taking up most of his time, WPA projects, getting the economy back on track, putting people to work. You know, there were a lot of homeless people living around the Washington area, so it was in his face every day. And then following the Depression, he was dealing with World War II. Well, as World War II started coming to an end in 1945 and Roosevelt was in his last, his election period. He had just been elected and he was in office. He was going to bring it to the forefront. He wanted to continue his legacy. He thought that healthcare was going to be one of those things he could bring about. But he died in office. So when he died, it got pushed out to Harry Truman. Harry Truman comes into office. He tries to pass something, but it fails the muster. It doesn't go through. Well, you got Harry Truman. He was defaulted. He came in the presidency as default because Roosevelt died. And then he was elected for one term. Well, he had the Korean War to worry about. So healthcare took another back seat. Then comes in Eisenhower. Eisenhower leads to Kennedy. Kennedy comes in office, and Kennedy had an agenda. He had an agenda for health care, and he wanted to address it. But if you remember the Kennedy administration, he had a lot of things on his plate. He was dealing with the Bay of Pigs problem, the Cuban Missile Crisis. His brother was trying to go after the mafia, so he was dealing with Hoffa and Carlos Marcello down in New Orleans. And all things said, by the time he got to his health care, he was assassinated in November 22nd of 1963. Well, Lyndon Baines Johnson comes into office. He gets, again, the presidency by default because Kennedy dies, and then he comes into office, and then he is able to pass what we know today as Medicare, initial Medicare elderly insurance. It passes in 1960. It comes to everybody's attention in 1964. It actually passes and gets signed into law into 1965 and is effective January 1st of 1966. And that is where we are with the start of Medicare. Now, if you go into things like at the time, people who were qualified for Medicare had to be 65 years old. Well, a person who was 65 years old in 1965 was actually born in 1900. The life expectancy of a person in 1900 was 46 years for a male, 48 years for a female. So they had well lived past what their expectation was at that point. And then if somebody in 1965 was coming onto Medicare, the life expectancy of somebody born in 1965 was 66.7 years. So you can see where this is going. Nobody ever anticipated that we'd be at the point we are right now with people living as long as they are, okay? So a person born today, or let's say this, let's put it this way. A person who is 65 years old today, a male, is expected to live for another 19.7 years. A female is expected to live for another 21.3 years. With that said, that is a burden on the system. We have more people living. We have a lot of increased cost. And nobody anticipated that research and development and the production of pharmaceuticals were going to get us to this point, but that's where we are. So that's
so we're in a situation where people are living a lot longer than what they expected. And
we need to pay.
The funding, of course, was based on shorter life expectancies, and so trying to increase those Medicare taxes to pay for that has always been a challenge. And so we come back. We're going to go ahead and talk about the annual election period and some of the things of Medicare, the types of policies and the types of areas that people want to consider. Talk a little bit about prescription drug plans and what you can use and what have you. So Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you. Guest today, Bill Tetrow. We'll be back shortly after news and sports. Thank you for listening.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg. I have a guest with us today, Bill Tetrow. Bill is an independent health insurance advisor focusing on basically on health insurance, has been part of our office upstairs now for about 13 years altogether. Gained a lot of confidence in Bill over the years, sent him a lot of clients, like the way he's done with our clients. And period of time starting Monday that we've got coming up is the annual election period up through December 7th. That means people have got some choices and maybe need to go out and make some decisions. Bill, what about it?
Well, yeah, Dick, actually we're on the next to the last day of what's called a pre-AEP or the pre-enrollment period. This is a period that goes from October 1st to October 14th. It's a time where agents, or I should say in the state of Washington, they call us producers, can go out and talk to our clients about the health care plans that are coming into play for 2019. We can talk about the price, the benefit structure, doctors, and so forth. We cannot put pen to paper. We cannot sign or enroll anybody, but we can give them the information they need. Starting on the 15th, which is Monday, that's the beginning of the annual election period. This goes from October 15th, like you said, to December 7th. During this period of time, people who may have missed their opportunity to get a Medicare Advantage plan or a prescription drug plan are allowed to come in and make their choices, talk to an agent, or go on whatever they want to do, whichever way they want to do it, and to choose a plan that's going to work for them. It's also a time where we can help people change from one Medicare Advantage plan to another Medicare Advantage plan. They can change from one prescription drug plan to another prescription drug plan. And we try to meet the needs of the folks based on their specific situation. You know, do they travel a lot? Do they have a lot of prescriptions? Are there doctors local and in the networks? You know, there's a lot of moving parts to Medicare, and there's a lot of moving parts to the Advantage plans and the prescription drug plans. So,
you know, one of the things we run into with Medicare and insurance and stuff is the alphabet soup, Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D, F, okay. G.
All through M or N?
Yeah. you want to talk a little bit about, because this is all confusing. People have got this option of changing plans during this window.
Yeah. Those plans, the alphabet soup plans, those are Medicare supplement plans. And when you're talking about the F, the G, the N, those are plans. Anything related to Medicare, like Part A, Part B, mm-hmm. Part C, they're parts. Anything related to the plans or to that coverage of supplements are plans. Supplements work differently than Advantage plans. You have to know what you're getting into so your agent or your producer can tell you exactly how they work. And based on the information they give you, they can tell you what you might be looking at for your specific need. As far as the letters, the alphabet soup, the one thing to remember about those plans is that Medicare controls the benefits in the plan. Okay, so a plan, let's just say a plan with one company, and I can't name companies. This is not I'm not promoting anybody here. But a plan F with one company is going to be the same plan F with the next company and the next company and the next company. All plan Fs are the same. All plan Gs are the same.
Whatever the benefits are, whatever the details are, whatever the functionality of plan F is the same with every company?
That is correct. That's
okay.
Correct.
So somebody's out there shopping around looking at a plan F. They're basically should be shopping for cost. Then is that fair to say?
Yeah,
because what they're buying is exactly the same. You know, it's like buying a Cadillac with a Chevy chassis or a Ford chassis or whatever. It's all going to run the same. It's all going to use the same amount of gas. It's all going to pay the same amount of benefit. So people get confused with these letters. But whatever plan they're buying, they should be out there looking for the plan that costs them the least amount of money.
Yeah, and one of the things I stress to people, too, is it's not just the cost. I mean, the cost is the important thing, obviously, because you're trying to save money, especially when you see the increases each year in the cost of health insurance. But it's also, how is that company rated? You know, how do they treat you for customer service?
Okay.
Things like that. I take that into consideration, and people have come to me specifically because a company they dealt with wasn't providing what they thought should be the customer service. Now, that doesn't happen a lot. I don't want to go on to mislead people into thinking that's something that's very prevalent, but it's not. But it's something to take into consideration. When it comes to the Advantage plans as well, too, the one thing you got to keep in mind is this plan going to work for you? What are your needs? Most of the Advantage plans that you see nowadays are either going to be HMOs or PPOs. What that means is if it's an HMO, you're going to have a primary care doctor who's in the network. If you need to see a specialist, you're most likely going to have to be referred to that specialist by your primary care network, physician, and they have to be in the network. And so these are things you want to take into consideration.
So now let's just a Med Advantage plans, initial soup again, Plan C.
Well, Medicare Advantage plans are listed as what's called Part C Medicare.
Okay.
What they have to do is they have to produce at least the benefits equal to what Medicare would provide you with. But in the interest of, you know, meeting the needs of the client, they are going to offer you extra things. Some may offer health clubs. Some may offer vision. Some may offer dental and things like this. So they're kind of in competition against each other. And that's what you have to look at is what's going to work best for you. Are your doctors in that particular – what I tell people is this.
So access to what your needs are as far as having access to the doctor that you want or even the hospital that you want in some cases could be restricted.
Yeah, what I tell folks is this. When you are seeking a plan, if you find a plan that you like and you want, you need to find out if your doctor's in that plan. When you call your doctor, I tell them, don't ask the doctor if he takes the plan. Ask him, are you contracted with this plan with this company? Because we've seen before, not necessarily here in Whatcom County, but in others, where the doctor's medical group might take one company and take a couple of plans in that company, but they don't take all plans. So you just want to make sure, do your homework, call somebody who has a little bit of history with the working with those products, and we'll guide you in the right direction.
Well, when Camille and I do a financial plan, oftentimes one of the biggest discussion areas we have is the cost of health insurance, because most people do not understand how health insurance works in retirement, and they don't understand, okay, you got plan A, you got plan B. Plan B, you pay for that $135 or $136.50, I think it is. $135.50, is it next year? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that comes out of your Social Security check, but if you made over $85,000, you pay like double or whatever. So, you know, people are paying more for Part B. They got to allow for that. Then you get into the Medicare supplements, which could be a Med Advantage plan or a supplement. Then you get your pharmacy prescription drug plan. By the time we get done, we're telling most of our clients that it's going to cost about $350 a month, probably $700 a couple, for them to get the plans they want. Now, every now and then somebody comes in and they've got a Med Advantage plan available, and they say, well, it doesn't cost me anything. But that doesn't cost me anything comes with some limitations, because in many cases it has a cap or a lid, or it's got deductibles and co-pays, and it's got things like that that people need to consider. So all that stuff kind of comes into play, I think.
Well, yeah, it does. I think what people have to do is they have to find out what their comfort level is with regard to the coverage that they're going to get. What do they need? And again, check, make sure the doctor's in the network, make sure that the cost is, if the cost is a consideration, that it's going to work for you.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. We'll be back shortly. Dick and Camille here with you this Saturday. Your guest is Bill Tetrow. We're talking about Medicare and health plans and what have you. We'll be back shortly.
There's an amazing place right here in Whatcom County, less than a 30-minute drive north of Bellingham, a place where you'll forget traffic, city noises, and the pressures of your work week. If you've dreamt of a special escape for a day, a weekend, or a lifetime, Semiahmoo Shore is that dream come true. Semiahmoo Shore offers brand new award-winning homes from 2,000 to 3,000 square feet with prices starting at only $795,000. Go to ultimatewaterfront.com for a tour of our gated community, spectacular homes, and miles of unspoiled beaches located next to the fabulous Semiahmoo Resort Hotel and Spa. Model homes are open daily noon to 5 p.m., considered by many as the most beautiful spot on Washington's coast, where the sun rises over Mount Baker in the harbor on one side of your new home and sets in the inland Pacific on the other. Our remarkable pricing, location, and details are all available at ultimatewaterfront.com. Semiahmoo Shore is listed and marketed by Mike Kent of Windermere Real Estate.
Whatcom, Skagit, and Island County shoppers, this is your weekend to upgrade your kitchen appliances and save like never before during DeWard & Bodie's massive anniversary sale in Bellingham and Burlington. Get to DeWard & Bodie this weekend to find incredible deals on appliances and save up to 40% off store-wide. This is your chance to make the upgrades you've waited for and save big on refrigerators, dishwashers, laundry sets, ovens, cooktops, and more, all in stock and on sale from the brands you trust, like Whirlpool, LG, KitchenAid, Samsung, Bosch, and more. Plus, now is the time to get season-ending prices on barbecues from Weber and Traeger. This weekend, keep the cash in your wallet, because you won't have to pay any money down or any interest for two full years on select appliance purchases. OAC, see store for details and minimum purchase. They'll price match any local competitor on in-stock items and give you fast, professional delivery on qualifying orders. Get to DeWard & Bodie right now and save during the 72nd anniversary sale in Bellingham and in Burlington, a half block north of Costco.
Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you today. Camille, you look like you got a question you want to ask over there.
Oh, you know, there's a big booklet out there that you can download. Bill, what's the website for Medicare?
Medicare.gov.
Medicare.gov. It's that easy. But you can download this big pamphlet. But if you have questions, give us a call. I was looking at this list here, and Bill, you mentioned travel. What's the deal with travel if somebody's outside of the United States?
Okay, well, here's the thing. In most situations, Medicare won't pay for health care or supplies you get outside the U.S.
Okay.
The term outside the U.S. means anywhere other than the 50 states of the U.S., the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, okay. and the Northern Mariana Islands.
Okay, so if somebody's, you know, on vacation, can they get a supplement while they're out there? How does it?
Well,
we don't have to get
in emergency situations. If you have a supplement, okay, uh-huh. and you're going outside the country, you have what's called foreign travel emergency. And how foreign travel emergency works is that Medicare does not cover you outside the country except in a couple of specific situations.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me get these
I'm
to you.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
if you're
traveling through Canada okay. without unreasonable delay by most direct route between Alaska and another state when the medical emergency occurs and the Canadian hospital is closer than the nearest U.S. hospital, you can treat your illness or injury in Canada.
Okay.
And typically what happens in those cases—
If you get sick in Canada, you got to tell them you were on your way to Alaska.
Well, yeah, that's for Medicare to cover you. Yeah, but what happens is with the
There's
supplements,
a good tip there.
The actual supplements like the F and the G, which are the most popular plans,
yeah.
the actual supplements have what's called foreign travel emergency.
Okay,
and what that is Medicare not covering you in most circumstances.
Okay.
And this has happened to two of my clients, one in China and one in Saskatchewan. Ooh. Where they got ill and they had to go to these facilities.
So the one in China was on their way to Alaska too, then,
huh? Probably, yeah. what ends up happening is you keep track of your receipts. You also prove that you're in that country, whether that's through your visa or what do you call it, your passport stamps
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And then what happens with those plans is that they will reimburse you up to 80% of what Medicare would normally cover you for after a $250 deductible with a $50,000 lifetime limit. How's that?
That's completely – that's something good to know because, you know, like Dick said, our average client is 69 years old. They're on Medicare, and they're probably traveling. So it's good to know what your options are. I know it's kind of not what we were talking about earlier. I was kind of scanning through things.
And it works in different ways, too. If you know, as far as the foreign travel emergency is concerned, if you're closer to a Canadian hospital or a Mexican hospital
sure.
in some emergency situation, then Medicare has been known to take it on a case-by-case basis and cover you for that. Also, another interesting one is if you're on a U.S.-registered ship and you're less than 6 hours from U.S. landfall,
uh-huh.
you can't be covered. How they came up with that, I'm not quite sure. But that's one thing that that's
small
how that
print.
Works. So that's foreign
right.
travel emergency.
Yeah. No. Let's probably get back to what we were talking about earlier. I got off there on a tangent with that.
No, I think that was great. Hey, you know, I need to know if I'm going to Canada. I'm on my way to Alaska.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to these plans a little bit. Let's talk about the supplement plans and the plan. The two most common that I'm aware of are F and G. So you've got your supplement plans, which have deductibles and co-pays. Some of them have zero premium, which sounds really good, but you got
those. Those would be the Advantage plans.
Okay.
Yeah, Advantage plans do have some zero premium plans, and they can even have zero deductibles, and they can have zero office visits. And you are going to have things like co-pays for the doctor's office for specialists. You will have co-insurance, and the thing that. And people aren't sometimes clear about how copay and coinsurance works. Copay is a dollar value carved in stone. What that means is if you sign or if you get onto a plan in January, it's an Advantage plan, and it says that your office visit is going to be $20, then that office visit is going to be $20 in January. It's still going to be $20 in December. So let's say you have a procedure done and your share is 20%. It's a coinsurance. At the beginning of the year, that procedure is $200. Okay, so you're going to pay 20% of $200. Well, you get that same procedure done, or you have to have it done later in the year. You're still only paying 20%, but now that procedure is raised to $400. So basically what it is, dollar signs are carved in stone, and percentages can fluctuate.
Let's take a couple of what-ifs, Bill. Very healthy age 65 client comes in and says, I need to have my Medicare supplement. I signed up for Social Security. I signed up for Medicare. I've heard about these Med Advantage plans. I want my Med Advantage plan. I want to pay, you know, little bit. I know I got copays and deductibles, but I'm never sick, so it's not a big deal. So they go into a Med Advantage plan, and then all of a sudden they run into cancer or something that they, you know, they just didn't expect that type of thing to happen. They thought they were really good shape. Meanwhile, their spouse, for example, may not be in as good a shape, said, well, I don't want to take that risk. I want to know I've got coverage. So the first person comes in and says, I want a Med Advantage plan. They're now in a Med Advantage plan. Something happens. What happens to them?
Well, to explain it this way, the Medicare Advantage plans are going to cover you for whatever that plan benefit structure is, the doctors you can go to, the facilities you can use, and there are a lot of facilities that are available to them. Worst case scenarios are when you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, you get some kind of a health issue, you want to go to a specific hospital or clinic, and they do not take your Medicare Advantage plan, then the issue comes, how can I get on a supplement? We've seen this before. Well, if you've been on a Medicare Advantage plan for longer than 1 year, okay, and you want to get onto a supplement, in most scenarios, you're going to have to answer the health questions to get the supplement, except there is one company out there who shall remain nameless, who, if you sign up with them during the annual election period between that October 15th and December 7th date, they're the one company that will allow you to get their supplement, and that has happened about 3 or 4 times with me. It's very rare. But when I am talking to people about health insurance, what's available to them, this is what I do. I say, this is what Medicare does. I describe Part A, what it does. I describe Part B and what it does. Then I say, this is an Advantage plan. This is what an Advantage plan does, how it works, doctors, copays, coinsurance, et cetera. Then I say, this is what a supplement does. I talk to them about premiums, any copays that might be attributed to it, and I let them make the decision based on what their particular situation is. I do not try and force anybody into a plan. They come to that understanding and that decision based on what their needs are. And it varies. I've got people going to an Advantage plans. I've got people going into supplement plans. And I've had a couple of people who say, the heck with it, I'm going to chance it and just go with Medicare. That can be a little costly to you down the road, so I don't advise that.
What, 80% coverage, so you got 20% automatic, right?
Yeah, you do. And
if you want it later on, the premiums are higher because you didn't buy it when you first were eligible?
Well, the thing is, if you don't go into a Medicare Advantage plan, as long you can go into a Medicare Advantage plan any year during the annual election period if you've let it go by and you've missed it. The only problem you're going to come up against is if you didn't take a prescription drug plan when you were first eligible, you're going to end up paying a penalty. And the penalty basically comes down to you take a benchmark plan, what the cost is of a benchmark plan across the United States. You multiply that by however many months you waited and multiply that by 1%, and you add that penalty to whatever premium you're going to pay for the company you go with, and it stays with you for life. So even if you switch plans during the next annual election period, that penalty, remember, it's Medicare's penalty, not the insurance company's. That penalty is going to stay with you, and it's going to follow you regardless. So my advice to people is, if you're coming on to Medicare for the first time, you don't have any health issues, you don't even take any prescriptions, it might be advantageous if you take the least expensive Part D plan so that you can have something in the event something goes wrong. And that's my advice to people.
Let's take another what if. Age 65 again, guy's still working for a company. What where are they at?
Well, number one, you want to tell them to talk to their benefits administrator and ask them what their policy is for working with Medicare. And if you're working for a company and you have credible coverage through the company and you decide that you want to go to Medicare, what you first have to do is make sure that you're going to have your Part B in place. You go make sure through Social Security that your Part B is going to be there when you need it. And then once you terminate your employment and you go on to Medicare full-time and you leave that company's plan, then you're going to have a certain period of time where you can sign up for a Medicare Advantage or a Medicare supplement is going to be guarantee issued to you. Those are some of the scenarios we run up against. And we also run up against scenarios of people who failed to get their Part B and now are going, how do I get my Part B so I can get my Medicare? Well, if you've let it go for a certain period of time, the only time that you can sign up for your Part B again is going to be between January and March of each year. and that's called the open enrollment period for Medicare, and then it would start on July 1st of that year. And that also, at that time, will put you into a guarantee issue period for either an Advantage plan or for a prescription, a supplement.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. Okay. We've talked about Med Advantage plans quite a bit. Let's talk about supplements a little bit more. The most common plans are F and G. Now, Camille and I talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. My wife had cancer 6 years ago. She was on Plan F at the time. Subsequent to that time, we've gone to Plan G. But when she had cancer, she had her chemo radiation. She was in the hospital for 12 days. Her kidneys were shutting down. Her liver was shutting down after day 8. She wasn't supposed to even be here today. She is. The long story is we didn't get one penny a bill anywhere for any of that with Plan F and G. So if you're in that type of situation, you're basically in a situation where you have coverage and maybe you have some peace of mind along with it. So the difference between F and G, as I understand it, is that the plans are two initials again, back to that. The details of the plans are set by Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy a Plan F, you got the same coverage no matter what it is. Plan G, you have the same coverage as Plan F, except you got $185 a copay during the year.
It's $185 deductible. And what you do is, regardless of company, companies have different prices for their plans, so it varies all over the board. You can go to the Washington State Health Insurance Commissioner's office and get those reports. But basically what it comes down to is this: the cost of a Plan F versus the cost of a Plan G in premium, subtract a deductible, you're going to end up with your savings by going to a Plan G.
So you got about $450 a year less for Plan G than Plan F.
In most circumstances, that's a good average.
So, but you do have that copay there, but still, you still wind up with a net of about $450 less. So,
yeah.
Got a choice. My recommendation, only because I have been through it personally, is look at Plan G. I think it makes a lot of sense. You want peace of mind. You don't want to worry about, gee, do I go to the doctor? I got a copay, or I got a deductible. I go to the hospital. You know, some of that stuff's worth quite a bit to us. So anyway, if you've got questions for Bill, call him at 733-9584. That's 733-9584. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you today with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. If you got questions for us, if you can't remember Bill's phone number, call us. We'll give it to you, 733-1200. Thanks for listening. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we're back. Thank you.
The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.